I think you enjoyed yesterday our music, so I brought a new song to you. Today we want to talk a little bit about congregation and church life in Germany. Yesterday we talked about the political situation, so we had a political song, and today I want to offer a new composed church song. We sing it often in our worship services. It's called Ein junger Mann aus Nazareth. I just translate the three verses to you, and then you may listen to the music and perhaps you pick up some words and some notes. A young man from Nazareth, he goes ways nobody really understands him. And he disturbs the Pharisees and the pious and faithful people. And then the refrain is, where people wants to be like Jesus, the world changes. And that repeats. Second verse, a young man from Nazareth, he says words, nobody really believes in them. And he doesn't say all the things all the other people say. So we say in Germany, he hurt his tongue. That's a proverb. You hurt your tongue. And the third verse, a young man from Nazareth, he does things nobody understands because he gives his head, that's another proverb in Germany, you give your head for other people. And nevertheless, he didn't, he didn't die, but he resurrected. So, I try to sing this song for you for our second lesson. Ein junger Mann aus Nazareth geht Wege, die man kaum versteht. Er bleibt bei seinen Leisten nicht und stört die frommen Kreise. Wo Menschen wie Jesus sind, da bleibt die Welt nicht, wie sie ist. Wo Menschen wie Jesus sind, da gehen sie neue Wege. Ein junger Mann aus Nazareth sagt Worte, die man kaum versteht. Weil er nicht mit den Wölfen heult, verbrennt er sich die Zunge. Wo Menschen wie Jesus sind, da bleibt die Welt nicht, wie sie ist. Wo Menschen wie Jesus sind, da gehen sie in neue Wege. Ein junger Mann aus Nazareth verschafft, was mancher kaum versteht. Er hält den Kopf für alle hin und hat die nicht verloren. Menschen wie Jesus sind, da bleibt die Welt nicht, wie sie ist. Oh Menschen wie Jesus sind, da gehen sie die neue Weg. Okay, that's a German church song. Children and even adults sing it. And you like the other song we learned yesterday so much, so when we finish our lecture today, Herman was so kind to make some little notes. He copied the first verse, and so we can sing it then together. Zusammen. We can sing it zusammen. I forgot something yesterday. My wife and I, we prepared these lessons together. She sits there, and, well, it's not only my job, I wanted to say this, and especially when we talk tomorrow and the day after tomorrow about the peace movement she was involved in, she has to say sometimes much more than I have. I want to say this to you. So, if you like, we start again with some slides, and then you may ask questions about congregations and churches in Germany, and I want to go back with you first to the Reformation times, because that was the start of the churches here and the churches in the United States as well. I think you know this picture. It's a very famous one. Yeah, very good. It's painted by Grünewald, and it was painted in the times Luther wrote the 95 sentences against the Pope in 1517. So this picture really expresses Lutheran theology. And it expresses as well the theology we studied nowadays. What can you see in the picture? You see the mother of Jesus, yes, she's on the left side, the woman dressed in white. Sorry? Yeah, that's John, the beloved disciple. He tries to comfort and to hold the mother of Jesus.
John the Baptist pointing to
Christ. Yeah, you have John the Baptist at the right side pointing to Christ. The other person, small one. Yeah, Maria Magdalena, the great sinner, we call her. Perhaps we have another time when we are here in Holden. I have a lot of slides about those altar, the Isenheim altar, we call it. And it's very interesting to talk about the two parts of this picture, because the left people are quite different to the person on the right side. But the most important thing is John the Baptist, he points to the middle, and we can see the next slide. You know what it means? This long, long finger of John the Baptist. Yeah, what did he want to tell? What did he want to show? And my teacher, Karl Barth, he told me, you have to look to this picture, and then you understand what a good minister, a good Christian, good theologian has to do. The same thing as John the Baptist did, and that is?
Point
the way. And point away from yourself. You're not the center of the picture. You have to read the Bible, and when you understand the Bible, it's beautiful made, because no one has such a finger like this. It's really surrealistic. And so he points to the center, and that's the crucified Christ, and you can see this on the next picture. It was unusually painted in those times, because the painter really tried to paint how Christ suffered. And that is the center of the theology of Luther, the theology of the cross. So I wanted to show, well, these three slides to begin with, because that's the heart of our church history in Germany, and it's of course the heart of your church history and your theology in the United States as well. And I think the pictures shows very clearly what it is about, what's the reason and what's the meaning of the church life today. That's a picture not from West Germany but from East Germany. You can see the boy, he is dressed in a sort of uniform, and some young people, they have to wear this uniform. But you can see they have worship services as well, and quite a lot of young people attend those worship services. Sometimes even more, believe it or not, than in West Germany. I live in a very big congregation in Wuppertal. We have about 500,000 inhabitants. And we live in the west part of this town, and we have about 17,000 members on file. They pay the church tax, so they are our members. They're baptized, they're confirmed, and they get married, and they get buried. And unfortunately, these are the four main points we have contact to those persons. Only very, very few in Germany go to worship service. So if I'm lucky, in the part of the congregation where I work, it's a modern built suburb, I have about 2,500 members, and if I'm lucky, about 40 or 50 people come to worship service, mostly elderly people. And that's one of our biggest problems in the church in Germany. I think it's similar in France and in England and in Denmark and Sweden and Norway. We are no more used to go to worship service. I don't know why. Perhaps our worship services are much more boring than your worship services, because the sermon is very long, it's in the midst of the worship service. We don't have those beautiful choirs you have, dressed in nice gowns. We live in a Reformed tradition, so we don't have candles and we don't have pictures. And I think it's sometimes a little bit, well, boring for the people to come to worship service, especially for young people. So we try often to make new worship services with new music, and that's the worship services. It was held in East Berlin, and well, you can see that young people attend this worship service as well. And the problem, yeah, for our young people in Germany as well, how do you call them?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yeah. We call them youth sects in Germany. So often the young people are disappointed of the church life. And some of them, they go to youth sects and they have the feeling there's much more fellowship, they're much more closer to other people than in our youth fellowships inside our churches. And I think that's a real problem. Other young people, they prefer to go to political parties and work there. And it's sometimes hard to invite them to come to the church. I think you have the Hare Krishna as well. We talk to people in Oregon. You have a big community of Russianish, it's called. And a few people of Europe, they come to Oregon and stay there because, you see, they have really the feeling they are loved there. They are appreciated there. Nobody hates them. They can be as they are. And I think our church sometimes made the fault to be too strict to them and to tell them you have to be like this and like that, otherwise we don't want to have you in our church. So, yeah, that's a picture, you know, it's painted by... No? Well, it was a part of Germany in the 16th and 17th century. It's the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo painted this picture, the creation of the man. And we talk about today about the connection in our church between God and mankind. And we talk about, well, the issues mankind has to do today. And I think that's a point where we can deal much better with young people than only discuss dogmatic matters and dogmatic issues. And when we show young people this picture and the close connection, God invites Adam to take part in the creation, I think it's easier for them to get involved into the issues of our congregation. So that's the way we try it now. 2 weeks ago, we had a very, very big Christian meeting in Germany. We call it den Kirchentag, Church Day. We have it every 2 years, and about 150,000 Christians meet, and, well, they make Holy Communion together like this. They worship together. They have very good speakers, like Desmond Tutu from South Africa, like, well, Russian bishops, they come to our country, like Dorothy Zöller, she's a very famous theologian. She teaches in New York at the theologian seminary there. So I think this way of inviting young people and taking part in a new way of communion is a good way to deal with their problems. And we got experiences that you folks in America do this much more than we do it. And I think we have a more, well, outgoing and inviting way to invite people to come to Holden, to come to your worship services at home, and really to talk to them and to understand their problems as well. We have quite a lot of young people in our congregations. You can imagine if you have 2,500 members, you have at least 700 or 800 young people. They really don't come to the worship service, but they come to other meetings dealing, well, with the issues of environmental problems and third world problems and Nicaragua and South Africa and problems of young people's growing up and problems of love and friendship. And we think it's good to talk with them and to invite them to those meetings. and we talk with them as well about, well, the gods of our world. When I show my young people in the confirmation class this picture, they tell me, well, we can't see this God, but we can see other powers in our world. We can see the power of war, the power of hatred, and we can feel the other idols and the other gods much more than this God. So we try to teach them that this God is really a power, and he didn't only create the world a long time ago, but he still creates the world and gives new hope. And I think that is one of our most important parts of the church in Germany, to give hope to the people and to tell them that God is still alive and that he will give new hope and new fantasies for the young people as well, who suffer under unemployment, for example. I told you we have close connections to mission church, German mission churches. For example, a good friend of ours, he went to Namibia and stayed here for 4 years. And that's a point I think our church is very much involved, because we are a very wealthy church and we know that we are responsible for our money. And so a lot of missionaries, a lot of other financial men of our and women of our church go to the third world and try to deal with their problems. It was very difficult for the German church to take part in the program to combat racism, because we have a discussion about, well, is it allowed for a Christian to take part in a riot against the government, to take part in a war against the South African government, to give money for weapons? I think it's a discussion in the United States as well. A lot of congregation decided, yes, we want to give money because it's really a sign that we want to change this cruel system. And a lot of other people decided not to do it because they thought you can't read the Sermon on the Mount and give money to the program to combat racism. And that was a highly discussed matter inside our church. It's not yet finished. But I think to discuss this point was very important to get much better to know the problems of Southern Africa. We try to teach in our confirmation classes and during our worship services the suffering Christ. That the people in Germany get the feeling Christ is really suffering with them, with their problems inside their families, with their problems at schools, at work, in the factories, with their unemployment. And I like this picture very much because it seems to be like the people sitting on the ground. They have a very close connection to this Christ who suffers really for them. And I think that's a part of our church life in Germany, to tell the people that Christ is alive and is still beside them and comforts them today as well. So perhaps now a little bit more about the real congregational life. That's a German family with a good German bread. Notice that. We try to offer meetings specially for families inside our congregations, because we think that's a good way to invite all the members of the family to take part in the worship service. So we started 10 years ago to make special worship services for families. And I think we succeeded in that. A lot of families came especially to those worship services. They didn't come to other normal worship services. And then we were able to talk about the problems of parents and children and problems of raising children today in our world. So that's really a part of the church work in Germany. You see, the church has a lot of church kindergarten and church schools and church hospitals and homes, church homes for elderly people. So I think the church is much involved in all the problems of a family in Germany, and I think that's not bad. We can talk to the people. We have a great field of work in our country. These are two old German folks. I think you will have the same problem the year 2000. There will be much more old people than nowadays or 40 years ago. And so the older people, they're really, I think, the heart, sometimes the heart of our congregation. They're very faithful. They come to our worship services. They help with our, we call it seniors meeting. They meet at afternoons and drink coffee together and play cards. And I think it's really important to see their way of life, to listen to them. I talked today to a lady and I told her I learned much more talking to those people than in some seminaries at the university, because they really have a lot of experience in their life. So that's part of our congregation life as well. If you have 2,500 members, you have a lot of burials. Perhaps that's strange for other ministers here, but I have colleagues that sometimes 3, 4, 5, 6 burials a week. So you see, in our so-called state church, we are very, very busy with burials, for example. So that's a part of our church, to deal with the people who suffered under the loss of a beloved one. And it's really a big part of my ministry and of my profession to go to those people and to talk to them. This was made by a confirmation class, and we wanted to deal with the life of other people in other parts of our world. And we think it's one important issue the church has to deal with, to understand other people in other parts of the world. And that was one reason why we came for 1 year to the United States to talk to you and to have fresh insights in your way of life and in your, well, religion and in your way of worshiping. We'll close with this slide now. It was the motto of this church day and this year was "The earth belongs to God." And we choose this picture in our church. It's a symbol that God is really the Lord and the ruler of the earth. You can see in his right hand the earth and the cross in the midst. So we think that one matter of the church today is to tell the people that the earth belongs to God and not to us, and we have to deal very carefully and very properly with the earth, and we have to give the earth to our children that they will survive as well. So a lot of people in the church in Germany discuss problems of environmental pollution and so on, and I think that's a nice picture, a very old one. It was made on a door, I think about in the year 800, that the earth belongs to God, to the Lord, and he's really the head of it. So these were just to start with a few slides about church and theology and the history of our congregations. And it was very helpful for me that you asked questions yesterday. So my wife and I and a lot of people who lived in Germany I know are here today can answer as well. Yeah? Yeah. I think that's a very peculiar thing for you folks in the United States, church tax. Yeah, when we go to the factory, we get a sheet of paper, and then we cross Protestant or Catholic. No more. That's not fair. People ask me today, is there a sign for Zen Buddhism and Jews and so on? No, it isn't. So we have the Protestants, and to the Protestants, they belong the big denominations, the Reformed, the Lutherans, and the United Churches. We have 7 big churches, the Bavarian Church and the Hanoverian Church and the Church of the Prussian Union, and they are in West Germany and they get the money, and the Catholic Church. So then the people pay income tax. If you, well, I don't know, if you work one, if you earn 100 marks and you pay 10 marks income tax, you pay 8% of this 10 marks for church tax. So 8% of the income tax. No, no, all this money goes to the big church. For example, I work in the Rhinisch Church. Yeah, it's in the Rhineland. So the Rhinisch Church in Düsseldorf gets the money, all the money. And they distribute it to the congregations. And when they notice one congregation is a little bit poorer, this congregation gets more. But the pastors earn the same money. Every pastor earns the same money. It's funny for you, I think. Not that bad, I have to confess. Yeah, my colleague in Wuppertal, he has much more attendance in his masses than we have. I think it's a special Protestant problem. The Catholic Catholic people have to go to the worship service much more than we have.
Churches like, say, the Mormon Church or the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or what is it? Is there a group or a missionary at the
You mean inside of Germany? West Germany? Well, what would you say?
Is there an evangelical movement in Germany, like Billy Graham Crusade, Marx Law 2x2 throughout the world?
I wouldn't say this, no.
You don't have much of a Mormon church.
No, I wouldn't say this. We have these church days, and a lot of people gather. Well, it's once every 2 years. That's very seldom. And, well, we have other meetings as well, but we don't have this missionary attitude. I wouldn't say this. We have some smaller free churches. They don't get money from the state. They pay their pastors themselves. And they are much more livelier sometimes and much more engaged in mission. You see, we don't have to be mission. We have too much money. That's really spoiled. Yeah, believe it or not, but it's true. Then you're not allowed anymore to go, well, to baptize your child and to get married. You can't do this then any longer if you're out of church.
You mean if you don't contribute on your income tax, then you cannot marry or have?
Yeah.
You can't?
No.
Oh.
You get married by the state in Germany, not by the church. Yeah. First you go to the city hall, they marry you.
And they take a look at your tax records and see if you've contributed. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't contributed, then what happens?
Well, everyone pays income tax in Germany,
okay.
Of course, yeah? But not everyone pays church tax.
Okay.
We have friends, they said, well, we don't want to pay church, we give our money to the third world. So they quit membership in the church and send their money to the third world, but they're no longer members of our church, so they can't get married, for example.
In the church. Yeah.
They can't get married. Yeah. But the state married them. And, yeah.
State baptizes their child
too? No, they don't.
What do you spend the money on within the church? On the buildings?
You see, we have a lot of huge old buildings. Yeah, in Wuppertal we don't have the cathedral, the Dome of Cologne, but we have several other very old buildings. They cost a lot of money. Sometimes they try to sell them. You told me the other day that they sold one big church in the northern part of Germany to McDonald's because they couldn't afford any longer to pay for the building. And we have to pay a lot of people who work inside our church. We have nurses who work for the church and custodians and organists. They get a lot of money. And that's another problem in Germany because the normal congregation member thinks, well, we have the pastor, we have the organist, we have the nurse, that's okay, they will do all the work. So it's very hard for us to find persons who make the coffee after worship service. Say, please stay and do it. Or to make cookies, or to prepare a special worship service with children. That's very hard. Because they say, you're paid, so do it. Well, the boss of our congregation, we change this every 2 years with my 5 colleagues. I have to do all the administration work. I said hours and hours moving money around and really spending my time with that, and I hadn't enough time to visit the members of the congregation or to prepare the sermons correctly. And that's another problem. You see, if you have money, you are engaged in a lot of other, we think, sometimes unworthy things. And it's really a pity when you remember that we are proud of that. We were the origin of the Reformation, Germany. And really there it started. And they looked into the Bible and read the Bible and they discovered the Word of God again. And now we have like this, I remind myself of a word of Luther. He said the Word of God is like a cloud. Today it's in Germany, but the other day it moves around the world. And I sometimes have the feeling it's out of Germany. Sometimes. We have good parts as well, and don't think there are only bad people in our congregations or only lazy fellows working there. So you had a question there, I think. Many, 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 yeah. Because it's not really, we think, a part of the congregation life, but a part of the grown-ups of the social life. So you have to go to confirmation classes, like you go, if you are a little bit traditional, to a church marriage. So I have sometimes 50 nice little guys and nice little girls troubling me in my confirmation class. And it's sometimes hard to deal with them, because they're not interested at all, and the parents don't go to worship service. They send their children to the confirmation class, and they're happy to get rid of them for 2 afternoons. We have confirmation class in the afternoons. We have school only until noon, 1 o'clock. In the afternoon, we have the confirmation classes. So, well, we start to do things like that, to discuss the problems of the young people, and to go on retreats, and that helps, I think.
Mm-hmm. When I was in Germany, we were told that it was free to go into the Catholic churches, but that we had to pay a fee to go into the Lutheran churches. Now, why was that?
Oh, poor lady. which church has it been? I will tell the pastor, it's not allowed to take... No, perhaps it was an old church and they restored it. In Worms, oh, I see. So perhaps they needed money for the Luther Festival in 1984. I don't know. 1983. And so they took money for it. Perhaps they wanted to rebuild a part of the church. But usually you don't pay. No, no. I'm sorry for you. You get it back.
It's the same way in the Catholic churches, though, that if you walk around, you're expected to make a contribution.
Yeah, you can make a contribution,
yes.
But you're not asked for it.
I think it was 2.5 marks, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. That's 80 cents, or, yeah. It's not that bad. But yeah, it seems peculiar, but sometimes they do it to restore parts of the old church. It costs very, very much. So, for example, the West German church sends a lot of money to the East German churches. They have big domes in the part, for example, of East Berlin. And 1 year ago, they opened the big old dome, the Prussian dome, because the West German church gave a lot of money to this church. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything for young people, like our Sunday schools?
That's very different. That's a good question. We don't have Sunday schools. That comes of the English tradition. We have, you see, that's very peculiar. I have only a Saturday evening worship service in the part of the congregation where I live, 6:15 to 7 o'clock for adults. And on Sunday morning, we have a special worship service for young people, from 3 to 14 years. We have a special worship service, we call it Kindergottesdienst, children's service, and there we have special classes where we teach the children, but it's inside of a worship service. But we don't have Sunday schools. No? Yeah?
What you see happening is the church life in the next 10 to 20 years, you and your friends in the region.
That's a good question. I hope that the young people who now come into our churches, who get more involved in problems of third world, in problems of peace, will stay in our churches and will be the next generation. We hope that very much. But I sometimes, I'm very envious when I go to your churches or when I make worship services where I live here in the United States and we have 200 people there. I can't believe that really. Christmas and confirmation, we have those numbers, but no more. Well, perhaps our system will change. Some people discuss to stop the tax, some liberal people, because they say it's not fair. And perhaps in 10 or 20 years it will change. So that will mean a great change for our church, I think. And perhaps then they will change in all their habits and they have to get quit of a lot of their money, a lot of their buildings, a lot of their land. The church owns much land in Germany. I think the church is the second mighty employer, the second mighty employer in Germany after Siemens or IG, our big factories. So many, many people work in the church, in hospitals, in kindergartens, and so on. So I think we have to change the whole system then. If we would send more people to Holden Village from Germany, that would change, I think, a lot of our habits as well.
I think the church used television over there to reach out, share the gospel, teach?
Not that much as you do. We switched one Sunday morning your television on and looked to Robert Schuller, was it? Yeah? It was interesting for us to watch him. And now, we have 5 minutes a week. We have das Wort zum Sonntag, the word for Sunday. It's just before the last detective story starts. So a lot of people watch that. We have some worship services on Sunday, but not much. Not much.
A personal question. How is it controlled the ministry? What attracted you to become a minister of the church?
Well, I was grown up in a very religious family. My father, after he quitted the Jewish tradition, he went to the Calvinists in the Netherlands, and that was the way I was grown up in Germany. And then I was attracted by teachers and special theology like Karl Barth and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We had a lot of Dietrich Bonhoeffer at our school. We have Religionsunterricht, religion studies, religion instruction in our schools for Protestants and for Catholics. Not for Mennonites and not for Jews, but that's funny as well, you see. So there we read a lot of Bonhoeffer, a lot of Karl Barth, and I was very attracted by that, by these thoughts. And I wanted only to be a theologian and to read a lot of books. And then during my studies at university, I really felt that it was wonderful to serve in a congregation and to tell what I've learned to the people. So, and now I'm 7 years in my first congregation in Wuppertal.
Visiting other people who come from the church in Germany or from Denmark also, they say when they first came to the United States, they were very much impressed with the liveliness of the American church and they were envious and that sort of thing. But after they've been here a while, they felt that the American church was too frenzied. Too much involved, busy work, keeping the machinery going, and people were going to get burned out. And more than that, they
preoccupied with themselves, too preoccupied with personal salvation, preoccupied with how am I doing, kind of thing, and not really having a sense of the fullness of God's life and love for the world. You're new at home in the village, and you come and you don't want to say, we have Germany yet. Things to offer you too, but I have heard from other people, I've gotten to know them a lot, that they have something to teach us also here in the United States. And I wonder a little about your impressions from that side.
Well, perhaps it's true, we tried 79 and 80, and perhaps we will talk about that much more the next two lectures, the next two sessions, to invite the people to come to our congregations and to discuss the Bible in view of the problems of today. That's true. And we were very lucky, we invited Martin Niemöller to come, and he came to our congregation, and we discussed the nuclear arms race, and we talked about the peace in the Old Testament. I think we have good universities and good theologians who teach us. That's really true. And I'm very thankful for those people. I told you the other day, these were the old men who struggled in the Third Reich against Hitler and opposed him and were members of the Confessing Church. So we were very lucky to have those teachers, women and men, both. And
ob sie gefunden haben, dass am ersten die amerikanische Kirche eigentlich so gut ist, aber noch später ein bisschen oberflächlich ist.
Yeah, I understood this. I only wanted to tell a little bit about our sincere life in the church. We have every 2 years in the congregation where I live a peace week. And last year we had a week about the Sermon on the Mount. And I think that was very deep. We started at 7 o'clock every morning with a morning worship, and we invited all the people before they go to school or before they go to work to come, and they really came. In the evening we invited very good theologians, so we think that was really a deep work. I really can't say, you see, we just came to the United States in April, so we are 3 months here, and we are impressed by the way of your church lives and works. Some colleagues told me that's true, that a lot of members of the congregation want their own soul salvation only. I can't really see this. I think I'm not able to see it perhaps now. Would you say that it's like this? You have sometimes the feeling it's... Sure, yeah. But it's true, we can learn from both sides. That's really true, yeah. We learn, I think, you organize everything perfectly. We are astonished about that. Yeah, that's really quality. No, it's not ironic, I mean it.
It's,
yeah, but that changed. I think that changed, yeah. I think that changed. Wouldn't you say this? When we come to meetings of you, everything's perfect, from the coffee to the music, and we admire that.
what is the state of relationship between the Catholic and Protestant churches in Germany?
Yeah, we have quite an ecumenical movement on the basis of the congregations. You see, these peace weeks we do together in the town where I live, with a Catholic sister church. But on the higher level, as always, it's sometimes harder to get closer to each other, to allow, for example, to take communion together. That's not allowed in Germany from the Catholic bishops. So that's sometimes hard. And the Catholics are much more reserved, much more conservative. They mostly live in the southern part of Germany, and the Protestants more live in the middle and the northern part of Germany. They're much more liberal. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
You mean like Holden a little bit, retreats? There, yes, there. People who want to live together and share their life together, their fellowship together. That's true. Yeah. Very small communities, young families who live together. That's true, yeah.
I have two questions. Who decides what church you'll serve in and for how long, when you leave, where you go? The second question is, how does your salary compare to that of an American clergy?
I was lucky to choose my own congregation. It was in 1978. We had a lot of vacancies inside our church, so I went to several churches and had a look at them and then decided to go to a special church which I like best. Nowadays, we have too many ministers in our church and it's very hard to find for them a job. So we discussed sharing, job sharing in Germany as well, like you do. So I think it would be very hard now to change and look for another congregation, and especially for the young students who finish the theology studies, it's very hard for them to find a congregation. But if you found one, you can stay there your whole life, if you like. I don't think it's good to do this, but you can do so. Some pastors change after 10 years, after 7 years, after 15 years. Nobody tells you. And it's very hard, very, very hard to get rid of a nasty pastor in Germany. He must have done a lot of very ugly things, and you have to prove it. Oh, we know a lot of those. It's some very sad problems, but the pastor has a living standard. It's comparable to a judge in Germany, and it's very hard to get rid of a judge. It's good and it's bad. And the salary, I think it's comparable, more or less. We earn, you can't really change it in dollar, you see, because our living standard is not that high as your living standard. We earn about 2,500 marks a month. That would be $700, but you can't really compare that. And we have a house where we can live in, a parsonage as well. We earn like school teachers, the same salary. Well, the school teachers in Germany, they get good money. Better than school teachers in the United States, yeah. So we can handle that. It's enough money for our family, yeah.
Lutheran Church in Germany has a deaconess program, but is that more, is it other Protestant churches have that, the United Churches have that as well? Can you say something about that?
We don't have, we have some deacons, but very, very few. The main person has always been the pastor, the Pfarrer, the Pastor, and the poor little deacons, they have to wash the windows, clean the windows. Well, not really like that, but we are not used to that. You see, in the center of the congregation, there's the pastor. And some people try to become deacons and to help with the confirmation classes. But I can remember when we were children, we had a deacon in our church and we only laughed about him. He was a funny person and I think it's not right. And we are not used to that. That's, again, a sign that we are, I think sometimes a very strict church, and you have the pastor and he does the work and the other people, they say thank you very much, but they don't like to get involved, for example, as a deacon. June, you can tell us?
Oh, you can tell us.
No, tell. You have experience?
Well, I already see it from that you can become a religion teacher without becoming ordained.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go through a university course in theology and take a regular state examination be a teacher in the Catholicism and teach religion and maybe another subject.
Yeah. Or every week I meet with the members who help in our Kindergottesdienst and the children's service, and we prepare very well the biblical stories. So the American past is very astonished about that, that young people are really very well informed about theological issues, and they teach them to other pupils. So we prepare it every week together.
In the United States, the movement is toward laypersons being more involved in the worship services and in other aspects of the ministry that the pastors usually took. How is it in Germany?
We try to do it as well. For example, we invite our youth fellowship to prepare a special sermon. We invite our women's group to take part in a worship service or a family group. But it's hard to get them in, really, it's hard. You have to, well, kneel down and say, you get this if you do that. And the people are not used to it, but I think we try to practice it, we try to improve it. It's a long way. I think the Americans are much more used to social life, to take part in groups, to be active in this and that, in clubs and meetings, and of course in the church as well. That's different, I think.
You mentioned that it was not wise to compare the economic remuneration that you receive. I think it's a struggle for us to try to compare the life of the community in the United States and the life of the community in Germany. And you've been very kind and said many things about positive community life in America. But it seems to me that the rich heritage and the life of the community in Germany, you are one of those. The spirit of volunteers. What is the, you start the slide with the theology of the cross. What is the richness of the Christian community, both Roman and Lutheran, within Germany today from their point of view? What is the gift of the world Christian community by the proclamation?
Yeah. Well, I'm very proud of the deepness of our theology, really. Bonhoeffer was a German and Karl Barth, he was a Swiss, but he lived and worked and taught in Germany. And, well, Bishop Scharf and Walter Kreck, I think you don't know these people, but they were really good theologians. And they taught us the Bible and systematic theology and how to deal with the problems of today, the theology of the cross in the background. That's perhaps our gift. I think you're right.
And we love theology to be involved. Yeah. That's another rich gift.
Yeah.
I think you compare numbers in the pluralism of this society as compared to cultural reality of the church and the community in Germany. Some of us were Scandinavians. The same way the Serbian went, we try to compare the life of the church in the United States and the life of the church in Scandinavia. I think those are faulty comparisons to me.
Well, perhaps you're right. Perhaps it's really a gift from both sides, and we come to you and you come to us perhaps, and we share our communion. That's really true, but I wanted to talk about the problems as well. You see, that's sometimes much more interesting than to say everything is well. But thank you for your remark.
Can you tell us a little more about the status of the churches?
The status about the church in East Germany. They will miss our song, those people. it's much more harder. It's comparable. The churches are organized like your churches here. They are free churches. They don't pay church tax in East Germany, so it's harder for the pastor there to invite the members to come to the worship service. it's sometimes not really dangerous, but with some problems for your children, perhaps, if you are a real Christian. But 5 or 6 years ago, the heads of the East German church met with the heads of the East German government, and they had very sincere talks to each other, because both sides noticed that they needed each other, really. So when I go to East Germany and visit churches there, the people are very gay and very happy, and they know what they're doing. And I think the Spirit of the Lord is there as well as in West Germany. Some people told me when they went to Russian churches, they have never seen such spiritual life like in those churches. And we mustn't forget that. And it's not in our hands. Okay, I think you have to move. Herman was so kind to copy the first verse of the song we sang yesterday. And we will meet each other, if you like, tomorrow. And then we will talk about the peace movement in Germany. And perhaps that's another point which is very interesting to listen to, because the peace movement started inside the churches. And we can talk about that tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. So, you all speak fluently German, I noticed today. Everyone knows a lot. I think morgen werde ich in Deutschland sprechen. Das ist für mich viel leichter. It's much more easier for me to talk in German tomorrow. And if you like, we can sing this first verse we learned yesterday. Die Gedanken sind frei. Wer kann sie erraten? Sie fliehen vorbei wie nächtliche Schatten. Kein Mensch kann sie wissen, kein Kerker einschließen. Es bleibe dabei, die Gedanken sind frei. I just translated to you. The thoughts are free. Who can guess how they are? They rush like nightly shadows. Nobody knows them really. Nobody can put them into prison. It remains, the thoughts are free. Die Gedanken sind frei, wer kann sie erraten? Sie fliehen vorbei wie nächtliche Schatten. Kein Mensch kann erraten, es bleibt dabei. Die Gedanken sind frei. So once again, a little bit louder, and then I think we are perfect.